All right, open your Bibles to Jude chapter 1. See if everyone's paying attention. Jude chapter 1. I'm going to go to one of our foundational verses at the prayer center. Thank God for Pastor Dave breaking the revelation in this passage and really this whole book. But I recently got a little more understanding from the Holy Spirit on this passage. The title of today's message is Our Most Holy Faith. Our Most Holy Faith. You say, well, I already know what that is. Well, we'll talk about that at the end of the message. Okay. So Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, now notice, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Recently, the Holy Spirit said to me, praying in the Holy Ghost builds you up on your most holy faith. It does not deliver you to your most holy faith. Now, that may seem like a small, minor difference, but I'm going to tell you right now, it is the difference between walking in sin and not walking in sin as a Christian. When he said that to me, two other verses immediately came to my mind, and I knew that both of them were also describing the same thing, which Jude calls our most holy faith. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, well, my Bible software puts it Jude 1, 3, but anyway. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, is it a common salvation? Salvation that's common to every person that gets saved, isn't that right? It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the part that stood out to me in that passage was the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. If you look up that word once, it means one time only, never has to be brought again. Once and only once. See, the Holy Spirit is not in the business of bringing you the faith that was brought to the saints. Jesus brought the faith that was brought to the saints. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus brought this truth, where when you have faith in that truth, that is what delivered you from sin, if you want to know the truth of it. That's where we're going. The other verse that immediately came to my mind, and you can turn there if you want to, but it's Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. I hear some pages and fingers on glass, as people. Romans 6, 17 says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, and this is the part that stood out to me, that form of doctrine which was past tense, was delivered unto you. But what would that form of doctrine be? Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. How did they become the servant of righteousness instead of a servant of sin? By obeying that form of doctrine that was, could I say once, that was delivered to them. It's a shame that the church in 2,000 years later, after many, many years of prayer and Bible study, which is all good, we're finally arriving at the beginning of the gospel. Because the foundational beginning of the gospel, Christ says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Go to John chapter 8. See, aren't those three statements there, your most holy faith, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, and that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, they're all describing the same thing. They're all describing the truth, that Jesus came to set you free from sin. When you become a believer in Him, you are set free. He didn't say you'd walk in all of it, but He says you can. All right, now, our most holy faith is based on the truth that was once delivered to the saints that made us free from sin. It was brought to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did not deliver that truth to the earth. Jesus did. Now, here are just three examples of the doctrine He taught concerning believers being made from sin. First one is John 8, verse 12. And remember the context. This is the reference here. He just finished with the encounter with the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. And you know that whole story. They were going to stone her to death according to the law of Moses. And Jesus wrote on the ground and He said, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." And as they run their Rolodex of their activities in their mind and compared that with the law, the artificial conscience of the law condemned them. And they said, "Uh-oh, I better not cast a stone because I have broken the law." And the next one had the same thought. And pretty soon all of them left. And Jesus said, "Woman, where's your accusers?" And she says, "They're gone. I don't have any." He says, "Neither do I condemn thee. But notice," then He said to her, "go and sin no more." Well, that's what God's always said. You go back to the law, basically go and sin no more. Trouble of it is, she was just as lost as any other person. She had that law of the sin and death working in her members, like every fallen, like every descendant of Adam after the fall. He's prophesying. He's speaking to her. Remember, Luke 16 tells us that the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. But since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Jesus is already preaching the kingdom of God, even though it won't be available to them in the sense of being born again until after the resurrection. But He's already preaching and prophesying about it. So right after His encounter with her, and He says, "Go and sin no more," the very next thing, John 8:12, He says, "I am the light of the world." Now notice how He does not stutter here. He does not say, "He that followeth me might not walk in darkness." Does He say that? He says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Well, why, Jesus? "But he shall have the light of life." Now, they don't know it. They don't have any idea. They're looking at Jesus. They're trying to understand what He's teaching and saying. They said, "Never man spake like this man," and that is true. Jesus knows what they don't know. He is walking by a whole different life. He has a whole different life on the inside of them than any of them have. Later on, He tells them, "I am from above," meaning His spirit. "You are from below." His life is from God. Their life is really from Satan, but I'm going to say from Adam, from the lost species of Adam. Every one of them is born spiritually dead, but Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary spiritually alive. He says, Jesus walked sin-free. Now you got to get this. Jesus walked sin-free 30 years before He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And He did it by this light of life. It was not the Holy Ghost that caused Jesus to walk free from sin. It was the light of life on the inside of Him. His first nature is what we call our new nature. His first birth, He had that life that we get in what we call our second birth. His resurrected life, which was the same life that He was conceived with the first time. His resurrected life, our Bible says that. See, we'd almost like to think we got something less. At least less than Paul. Come on. At least less than Paul. No. It says the same life that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same life that quickened you from death to life. In fact, it says, as far as God's concerned, you were quickened together with him. The day he walked out of the grave, you walked out of the grave with him, as far as God's concerned. I'm sorry, I'm commanding my feet to stay at the pulpit. Even at age 71, they want to take off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thinking about the gospel. So, verse 12 again. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, now get this, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to say it another way. He's saying, you're going to be able to walk free from darkness. Let's just say he's prophesying to that woman caught in adultery. Can you allow me that maybe she's still in the room while he's still speaking? And he's going, go and sin no more. Now, lady, listen. If you'll follow me, the day's going to come when you're going to have the same light of life in you that I have in me. And lady, from that day forward, you'll never have to walk in darkness again. Would you call walking in adultery walking in darkness? I would too. Well, what about all the other darkness? He said that light of life will set you free from all of it. And he that follows me will not walk in darkness. That's strong stuff, isn't it? See, this is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is exactly what Jude was talking about. He's saying, look, we've got these outsiders. They're coming in unawares, meaning they're coming in as Christians. They're coming in as teachers. They're not denying that Jesus is Lord, but they are denying his teachings because they're saying you can walk in darkness as a Christian. They're saying lasciviousness is okay. God's grace covers it. He says that's not the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You're going to have to contend. They're trying. If you can see me, I've got like I'm holding on to the faith. I'm holding on to what I received from Jesus when I got born again. I've got it in my hand. And these guys are coming. They're trying to pry it away from me. And I've got to contend for it. I'm going, no. You can't have my faith that set me free from sin. I'm not going to walk in darkness. Jesus paid a terrible price to set me free. And I will not go back into darkness again. I contend with you false teachers that say grace covers sin, past, present, and future. I contend with you. You're a liar. False teacher, false prophet, taking a lot of people to hell with you. I didn't mean to eat barbed wire when I got up. This is becoming so... I'm getting the white hanky. Glory to God. This is becoming so clear to me. I'm thinking, where has I been? Where has the church been? Good Lord. I can't watch Christian TV 5 minutes now. And I don't, when I say that, boy, doesn't that sound arrogant? I don't mean to sound arrogant, but I can, that spirit in me discerns lies when I hear it. And I'm not saying they're all intentionally doing it. A lot of them are just parroting the denomination or the group or the teachers that they grew up under. I did the same thing in the early days. But boy, once you know the truth, error becomes real easy to spot. Yeah. Shunned out my Hyundai. I tied my bow tie. Should have bought a Hyundai, but about a Hyundai. Actually, Hyundai's are pretty good now. But anyway, let us look. Two more places in the same chapter where Jesus said virtually the same thing. Come on down to verse 31 of John chapter 8. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. He told that lady, if you follow me. He's saying the same thing. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Why does someone become a disciple of another person? Well, you can do what I can't do. I want you to disciple me to the point I can do what you do. Does that make sense? I'm going to become a disciplined follower of you. However you're doing it, you're going to teach me how to do it, and then I will be a follower of you. Does that make sense? You will be my disciples indeed, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One more, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, and that's doulos, slave of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Oh, here it is. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I now want to become a disciple of Jesus. Jesus, how are you walking sin free? I've been watching you. I've been following you around. You didn't see me, but I've been watching you because I've seen these preachers that are one thing in the pulpit and another thing at home. So I've been following you around, Jesus. I've been going all around everywhere you've been. I've been watching you in the nighttime. I've been watching you. I wonder if this man's got to be a sinner like everybody else, you know. But I want to be your disciple. But I got him. So this guy, let's just pretend. Cole, when he was little, said, "Papa, can you pretend with me for?" He asked me one time, "Papa, can you see the lion in that tree?" I went, "No." He said, "Papa, can you pretend? Pretend with me for a minute that somebody was following Jesus around." And they're going, "I know this guy must sin. He must sin like everybody else." And so he follows him around. And maybe it goes on for a while. And he never, ever. You know, Jesus said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" He could never find anything. And he comes to Jesus. Now, let's say before the resurrection. He comes to Jesus and he says, "You are doing things." That's not this apart from the miracles. We're just talking walking sin free. He says, "You're doing what no other man can do. Nobody is able to keep the law but you. You're the only one. How are you doing this? I want to become your disciple. I want to be able to do what you were doing. Could I become your disciple so you could show me how to do what you're doing?" Well, Jesus basically would say to him, "Well, if you'll follow me, if you will continue in my word, you yourself will not walk in darkness either, because the day will come when I'll be raised from the dead." They don't know that. Jesus knows this. The day is going to come when that same light of life that I have in me, you will have that same light of life in you. If you will yield to that life, you will be my disciple. And you will walk just like me. And you will not walk in darkness. Can I say, you will not walk in sin anymore. Is that pretty clear? Now let me tell you this. Let me prophesy to you. Probably nobody in the sound of my voice doesn't already have that light of life in them. You're probably already born again if you're listening to Gary. Right? But let me tell you right now, it's one thing to have the light of life in you. It's another thing to bow your knee to that light of life and obey it. See, and that's really what a renewed mind is. A renewed mind is not a mind full of knowledge. It can have knowledge. But you can take a guy that's freshly born again and he really bows his knee to the Lord Jesus, to that new nature on the inside. Because, see, it's not just theory. When you get born again, there is a change on the inside of you. There comes a conscience. There comes a voice. There comes a nature that you did not have before. I'll never forget those first 2 weeks. I came back to the Lord when I was 33 years old. And I just bowed there in my living room. I wasn't even sure he'd take me back. I mean, I knew God as a little boy. And you talk about getting far away, boy. I got far away from about age 15 until age 33. And I still remember the prayer. I said, "Lord, if you'll take me back." And I wasn't sure. Because I know that I knew him as a young man. I heard his voice. I said, "If you'll take me back, you'll never have to come looking for me again." And I didn't feel no brush of angel's wings. I didn't hear Gabriel's trumpet. The ceiling didn't open and glory poured down. I didn't feel nothing, not a goosebump, nothing. In fact, it was so bad that I did hear a voice immediately. Here's what the voice said. "It didn't work for you. He didn't take you back." That's what I heard. "No, you're not saved. In fact, you've got a headache. I went, ooh, and I did. I didn't feel nothing. This went on for, thank God for little old Michael Muccio. Most of you have seen him. He's preached here a few times. Who had taught me what faith is. He said, faith believes what God said no matter how you feel about it. And he taught me Romans 10. Where if you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if you confess him with your mouth, as your Lord, you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I would quote those verses to the voice that was speaking to me. And I just still didn't feel nothing. And this went on. I mean, the next morning I woke up and it was the same. It's like the devil was sitting on the edge of my bed. And when my eyes popped open, said, didn't work for you. He didn't take you back. You're not saved. In fact, you got a headache. And he was right. I still did. And I hardly ever get headaches. The war was on all day that day. Thank God for the third morning. And I'm not prophesying this will happen to anybody. I'm just giving my testimony. That third morning, the emotions came. The tears came. How I really knew I was saved, I was driving across the Arkansas River. And I thought, that's the most beautiful river I've ever seen. Now, you got to be saved. And beginning right about then, I began the voice from a different voice preaching from the inside began. We weren't even going to church yet. We didn't trust preachers, to be honest. Okay, a long story. But anyway, we weren't really going to church yet, but a voice started on the inside of me. And I know now it was the new nature. It's really Christ within. It is the light of life. It's exactly what Jesus talked about. No preacher was telling me. It was coming from the inside. And my life, I told you, I got far away from God. Man, I had pornography in the house, and I'd been collecting it for years. Now, in those days, it was magazines, you know. But I'd been collecting it, and I was proud of I was proud of it. I had no conscience at all. I'd show it to anybody. I was proud of my collection. I kept them in the little plastic covers, you know. Didn't want them to get yellow. And with age. And a voice. That pornography's got to go. What? Well, what's that? That is Christ within. That is the light of life. That is the new nature. That is righteousness speaking up on the inside of this new man. And he's speaking in my soul. My soul. Now, it's not necessarily a voice. They stumble over that. It's more like your conscience. You know how your conscience works? You're about to eat a grape at the store? Or let's, I don't know, you're about to do something. And it's not necessarily, you don't hear the words necessarily, thou shalt not steal. It's not Charlton Heston's voice. But boy, it communicates. It's clear as a bell, isn't it? And that's the way this nature is. And it's communicating. It's not necessarily words. But this, to me, it was like, this pornography's got to go. Well, I'm going, my soul argued. See, this is why I know this. We're talking about strongholds. Well, here's a stronghold. My soul thinks, my unrenewed soul thinks pornography is just fine. See, this is where Galatians 5, my flesh wants pornography. My spirit man says this stuff's got to go. This is not acceptable to righteousness. This is not who you are anymore, Gary. And my flesh goes, bet me. Can you see the Galatians 5 right here? Now, a renewed mind is the one that eventually took me a day or two. I'll be honest with you. It took me a day or two. I couldn't get any rest, though. The thing about the new nature, it is relentless. God is more relentless than the devil. Thank God that conscience won't leave you alone. Thank God it bothers you. I couldn't sleep hardly. I couldn't. Man, it's like I was just trying to get away from that knowing that it has to go. But I couldn't get away from it. I don't remember now. I didn't keep as good records in those days as I do now. But maybe a day or two. Well, my mind became renewed because it had the knowledge for 2 days. But it did not become renewed until I made that decision on the inside. I bowed the knee. I said, pornography's got to go. God did not come, sack up my magazines and haul them out of the house for me. God did not come with a fiery lamp and torch my magazines. I had to do it. Can I say it this way? I had to purge my house. I had to do it. But it's really righteous. It's really Christ in me. I'm starting to understand what Paul meant. It's no longer I, but it's Christ in me. He wasn't willing to live in the house with that stuff. He get rid of it. I didn't know it then, but what fellowship has Christ with Belial? See? And it was preaching from the inside. It's that law of life. I've got it. And I like how Nathan says it. I can't improve on it. See, here's the real secret. If you can hear that voice, know this. If you can hear it, you're already empowered to obey it. Because the life is in you, or you wouldn't be hearing it. I had to sack it up. It had to go, and it all went. Then he started working on other things. Some of them are none of you, but I'll tell you this one. I had fallen into terrible language. F word and all of its associates. In fact, now if Sue was here, I would tell this. So don't run off telling secrets. She tells this more often than I do. Before Sue got saved, you do not know the man or the woman that they were, Gary and Sue Carpenter. You just don't know who we were. Sue used to love to find little old ladies, little sweet, little, she calls them blue hairs, blue haired ladies. Sue would love to just use the F word right in front of them because she'd like to see the reaction. Can you imagine? My language, I've been around construction, I've been around my whole life. Trust me, I could cuss like a sailor. I could cuss, boy. And the thing of it is, I didn't even notice it anymore. I've been doing it for so long, it's just who I was. And get that voice. Every time one of those would come out of my mouth, conviction would come. Like, no, that's not who you are. What? You know, it's almost like you do a double take. What? That's not who you are. Yeah, it is. No. You got this little war going on, see? And every one of them is a stronghold. Every one of them, your mind thinks, well, yeah, that's who we are. But that new man's going, no, it's not. No, it's not. And I'm not even talking about the power of the Holy Ghost yet. I'm talking about the power of the new nature that Jesus called the light of life that you received when you got born again. See, so that comes into everybody who genuinely gets born again. If you don't have that voice, you're either not saved, or you've walked in rebellion for so long, you've seared your conscience, which is a very dangerous place to be. Okay, you don't want to let that go on too long. I'll tell you right now the remedy. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful. Not only to forgive you, He will forgive you, but He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you're sincere, when you go and say, I confess this, I repent, cleanse me, forgive me. If you're sincere, your conscience will be restored from that moment forward. But then you got to obey it, or you start searing it again. Anyway, he went after my language. Alcohol, I have to just tell you, he just flat delivered me. He just did. I just went to bed. I was still drinking the first week or so that I was saved. He didn't get to that first. Isn't it amazing? He went after pornography first. He went after the language second. But I just remember going to bed one night, still drinking. You ought to see, it was quite a sight. Be careful how you judge people. I mean, when I got saved, I didn't want to go. I didn't even care about work anymore. You almost had to force me to go do my job. All I wanted, I would sit there in my blue bathrobe, bedhead, didn't even care, you know. Come in the morning, open my Bible, read it, not understand hardly anything I'm reading, and just cry like a baby. It was like food to me. I felt like if I didn't get that in me, I was going to die. But what was funny, I was sitting there loving Jesus, knew I was saved. This was after the third day, of course. Knew I was saved, reading my Bible, sipping my bourbon and Coke, and smoking like a freight train. Can you imagine the holiness churches that would have judged me. I feel sorry for them. Because let me tell you, there was a thing going on. There was a thing going on. Probably some of the best days of my life, those first couple of weeks, where life was new and fresh. And I was tasting honey from some source that I'd never tasted before. It was life. He was working through the strongholds of my soul one by one by one. But a renewed mind is when you don't trust the stronghold anymore. And you turn and you bow the knee in your soul, if you'll allow me, to Christ. That is a renewed mind. That's how you're no longer conformed to this world. It's when you bow the knee. You don't need books and seminars and seminaries of knowledge. And that's all good. I mean, we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But that's not the secret to a renewed mind. A renewed mind bows the knee to that new man on the inside. It's Christ in you. And the first level of obeying Him. All of a sudden, that one little verse that we take so lightly. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Man, you talk about prophesying about the new nature. My sheep hear my voice. Boy, there it is. That is that new creature on the inside. That Paul writing about the Gentiles, he says, when the Gentiles, these are born again people, when the Gentiles who have not the law, but they by nature do the things contained in the law, they become a law unto themselves. And he talks about their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing everything they're about to do. Well, that's the light of life. That's how you walk. And a renewed mind is the man that bows to that voice, bows to that impulse every single time. That's a renewed mind. You can grow in knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge, but they've never bowed the knee. I'm going to read you some notes again. Y'all getting anything out of this? It's becoming clear, isn't it? When Jesus said, "Whom the Son makes free, it shall be free indeed." He said, this truth, those three verses where he says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed." See, that truth was brought from heaven to earth by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He came to set us free from sin. When the angel appeared to Joseph and told him what name to call the child. You ought to go ahead and turn to this one. It's Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. That angel, see, Jesus wasn't named by the will of man. An angel brought the name of Jesus. So we would know for sure. Can I say who Jesus is? What his mission is? This angel gave the name, which means God gave it, the Father. Matthew 1, starting in verse 20, it's Joseph. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now notice, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Say it this way. The name Jesus means he shall save his people from their sins. So I made some notes. Notice, Jesus is to save people from their sins, not in their sins. If you look up that Greek word translated "from" in that verse, it's Strong's number G575, spelled APO, and it's a primary particle, and the first meaning is off and away. I come to save you off from sins and take you away from sin. Or you could say, I come to take sin away from you. But I didn't come to save you while you huddle with sin, while you stay with it. That's not what that word means. It means off and away. I come to deliver you from sin. I come to save you from sin. He shall save his people from their sins. The first meaning is off and away. Off and away from what? He told you right there, sin. Jesus would save his people from sin. There are other meanings of that word apo, A-P-O, means separating, departing, secession of, that's C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N, secession of, being done with, and reversal from living in sin. Does that sound to you like Jesus come to save you while you're still sinning? Well, I got one or two no's. Does that sound to you like Jesus came to save you while you're still in your sin?
No.
Now, maybe I'm not phrasing it right. Did Jesus come to save you so you could continue in sin the rest of your life and still make heaven?
No.
There, now we got it, right? He saved all of us in our sin. In other words, we were all sinners. Maybe that's why you hesitated. Okay, all right. But the point I'm making here, the angel himself said, you're going to call him Jesus. Well, why that? Because he's coming to save his people from their sin. He's going to bring them off and away. He's going to make them depart, cease, separate them from, and have a reversal and walk away from sin. Glory to God. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This was the doctrine that was first delivered to the church. And what's said? It's coming like an arrow of truth into us in this day, 2,000 years later, and we're all going like, what? It's sad that we're at the beginning point of the gospel. Not getting near enough amens. Don't know if you're getting it yet. Day one. Listen. Yes, sir. The grace of God empowers believers by the life of the new nature within them to say no to every temptation. We have been made free from sin. This is the faith that was once, a single time, delivered to earth from heaven by the Word made flesh, Jesus Himself. Jesus demonstrated the truth by his example of living sin-free for 30 years, even before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is proof positive that it is the power of the new nature, parentheses, which was his first nature, the life he was conceived with by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. It is, in parentheses, it is the new nature that sets us free from sin, not the Holy Spirit. Jesus proved that for 30 years. Jesus walked sin-free by the power of the light of life he was born with. Christians walk sin-free by the power of the light of life we are born again with. It is the same light, and it is the same life. So I want to be your disciple, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. Teach me to walk like you walk. So now it's after the resurrection, and you get born again. You hear the message. You're one of those disciples. You went to every meeting. We could just say it's still that lady that was caught in adultery. I think I'd go to every meeting after he said that to me. I'd be everywhere. He couldn't go anywhere. I wouldn't be listening. Maybe I was hiding somewhere, but I saw the scourging where he was whipped. And then I saw him on the cross. But then let's say I was hiding and I saw that empty tomb. And I heard the angel say, he is not here, for he is risen. Stay your feet. Somehow I snuck into the upper room. No, that's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Let's don't go there yet. Let's just say, though, I heard the message that if I believe that he was raised from the dead, and if I will confess him as my Lord, I will be born again. Let's say she did that. And suddenly, she goes from darkness to light. She goes from death to life. And suddenly now, she's born again. And that same voice, that same nature that started talking to me about pornography and about alcohol and about my language and a whole bunch of nunyas. Let's say that same, I mean, I'm being pretty transparent. Come on. Anyway, How about yelling at my wife? See, y'all see us now. You didn't see us then. Okay. More nunyas than that, too, but they're nunya. Okay. I'm not asking about your stuff. Come on. That same voice came in her. Maybe a temptation again. Mr. Goodlooking came along. She'd been committing adultery before. But now Mr. Goodlooking comes along again. This time he brought roses and chocolate. I love her, ladies. Besides that, he's Mr. Goodlooking. Maybe the same one she's before, you know. But this time, now always before, maybe she did resist in her own willpower before. Maybe she resisted a little bit, but eventually, I can't help it. I got to sin back in the sack with and hit with him. But this time, there's a different voice. It's coming from the inside. It wasn't there. It was not there before. It was not there. And it's coming from the inside. And it's going, that's not who you are. You're the righteousness of God. You don't commit adultery. And apparently she's married. You can't commit adultery without being married. You're a married woman. You don't do this. And it's now the thing, it's not just a voice with no power. I'm going to say it again. If you can hear the voice, that means you have the power. Because the voice is coming from that new nature, the very nature that empowers you not to sin. If you can hear the voice, you're already empowered. You don't have to do it. And if you do it, how many are thankful for his long suffering? Okay? How many are glad for 1 John 1:9? But I like what Nathan again said. Let's graduate from John chapter 1 to John chapter 3, that he that's born of God cannot sin. Let's go there. Let's start having that testimony instead of I'm always running back to the blood. Well, thank God for the blood. But he empowered us to walk free from sin. And that same lady, she could become his disciple. And the thing of it is, Jesus did it exactly the same way. Our Bible says Jesus was tempted in all points exactly like we are. Well, how did he not sin then? By the light of life that was on the inside of him. And he had that voice from the beginning. No, you don't do this. This is not who you are. And he had the power, same power you have, same life you have. He had the power to say no. That's exactly how he walks in free, even though he was tempted in all points like we are. Well, I want to be your disciple. Good. Come, now you can be born again. Confess me as Lord. Okay. Do you believe God raised me from the dead? Yes. Boom. You're born again. Now, you got the same life in you that I had in me. You can walk sin free the same way I did. Now, there it is. There it is. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And if you're still sinning, there's several reasons why. Number one, ignorance. The whole church has been taught, at least I was, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that's quite different. That's quite different than you have the light of life and been made free from sin and you don't have to sin anymore. That's quite different. Another reason, you just like your flesh a lot. I thought I'd get more resistance there, but y'all already knew that one, didn't you? And third one is you can sear your conscience. But thank God you can unsear it too. See? I'm telling you, God is ready. We have finally arrived at the beginning point of the gospel. Isn't that sad? The truth of it is, from this moment, and really it's been this way since you were born again, I'm just going to say though, from 9:18, 9:18 o'clock in the morning, is that okay? What day is today? The 15th? What is today? July 15th, 2018, from 9:18 in the morning, you never have to sin again the longest day you live. Never. Not if you're born again. Not if you have the light of life on the inside of you. Because you've got that, with that light comes that voice. No wonder he says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, if you've got the light of life on the inside of you, you're going to hear his voice. And it comes, again, it's more like the way the conscience communicates with you than it is. It's not always a voice. But boy, it's your conscience, you know. You can't deny when that sucker, is that okay? You can't deny when that thing's in operation. You know when it's in operation. And it's clear. That's the same way that nature is. And it's a pure. pure, sure guide in all the moral affairs of life. Now, it won't give you external information like the Holy Ghost can. That new nature doesn't say go to a street called Straight and inquire of a certain house and so forth. You know, that's the Holy Ghost job. We're talking right now about walking free from sin. Now, the reason this is so important, John G. Lake had a revelation that's been lost to the church. That same light of life that delivered you from sin. Go to Romans 8:2, just so we know for sure we're talking about the same thing. I'm just going to touch on this today. This is not today's message. I want to finish these notes. So I'm going to let you out by noon. No, by 10, so because Alan's going to preach. See? And let's read them all together this time. Romans chapter 8, is that where I said go? I was just going to read verse 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you know a lot of modern translations take that last part out? They say it's not in the original. Okay, even if you allow that, maybe that's what, if your Bible is like that, come on down to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now notice, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you think, as a Christian, you are going to walk after the flesh and not have your conscience condemn you moment by moment, you are in a fantasy world. This is what is so dangerous about the radical. One of the most dangerous parts of the radical grace message is they tell you, don't listen to that. They say, no, there's no. They just take the first part. They leave that second part out. They say, nope, there's just no condemnation. All of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. So if you sin and there's condemnation, you just reject that. You are cutting away maybe the most precious thing that Jesus ever gave you, which is the voice of that conscience. That's the very voice that keeps you on the path of righteousness. And you're supposed to ignore it? I think not. So even if you do allow them in your Bible to take it away in verse 1, it's right back in verse 4. Don't you think you're going to walk through the tulies with Jesus and fornication at the same time? You're believing some false gospel that is not in the Bible. Now thank God for His long suffering. I'm not here to. I'm the poster boy for long suffering. Okay. But boy, once you know the truth, you are accountable for the truth. You notice, you're here. Shame on you. Too bad for you. You're accountable now. If you're hearing this message, you're accountable now. You are accountable. That conscience that speaks to you, that is the most precious gift of God. When you're doing the wrong thing and you're convicted over it, it's like, oh, that's your conscience. That's the very rails He gave you. It's like the bumper pads on each side to keep you on the path of righteousness. I'm trying to read the verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And everywhere you see Spirit in these four verses should be little s. It's talking about the new nature. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Not partially free. You are free. I see John G. Lake, I mentioned him a while ago, he had a revelation even beyond sin. Him and his helpers would tend to and bury those people in South Africa that were dying of the bubonic plague. Anybody else that tried to do that, they wound up getting the plague and they died. But John and his helpers continued to do it and they never got sick. And the scientists going, the doctors from America and other places, how is this happening? Have you found a cure for the plague? He said, well, not exactly that. He says, but the law, they quote this verse, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, you can take that plague, put it on my skin and look at it under a microscope, and you're going to find the instant that whatever it was, germs or bacteria, whatever it was, the instant it touches my skin, it'll die. They didn't believe it. So they went and took the froth. They, you know, when they died of that plague, the froth would come out their mouth. They'd go get some of that froth on a stick or something. Somehow they looked at it under a microscope. And as soon, it was just before they put it on his skin, it was just teeming with that stuff, that bubonic stuff. But the instant it touched his skin, it died. What if we can take that revelation into the hospitals? What if we could take it into St. Jude in Memphis? If you ever want to see the devil on earth, watch what he does to those little children that have cancer. What if God can raise up a people that really believes the gospel? Not only can we walk sin free. Walking sin free is the beginning of the gospel. But what if we walk in that revelation? Not only can we walk in health. Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to have the Holy Spirit for that part. But you can transfer that life. That life can be delivered to them. And I believe God wants it done. I'm still trying to read the first four verses. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the little s spirit, the new nature. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and this is Romans 7, in that it was weak through the flesh. That's the Romans 7 guy trying to do it by willpower. Okay. God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What if I said it this way? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the light of life. You don't walk in darkness. Walking in the flesh is walking in darkness. But those that follow me will not walk in darkness. They shall have the light of life. This, I'm going to tell you again, this is the faith that was once delivered to the church. The Son has come to make you free. You are free from sin. When you believe on me, you'll no longer walk in darkness. You're going to have the light of life. You'll know, I'm going to set you free from sin because you're going to know the truth, and I am that truth. And when I come on the inside of you, my nature will empower you not only to, you'll not only know what sin is. See, the guy in Romans 7 didn't even know what sin was. He says, unless your law said don't covet, I wouldn't have known what it is. But the born again man has that law on the inside. No one has to tell you stealing is wrong, and if they do, you're not saved. You know from the get-go. God writes it in your mind and in your heart the day you got born again. Whew. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now notice, who walk. This has everything to do with your walk. God didn't come just to save you from, how do I say it? He didn't come to forgive your sin so you could still walk in it and make heaven. That's not his purpose. He come to, remember, off and away to set you free from sin. You're separated from it. It has ceased in your life. You have departed. You're going the other way. Glory to God. Praying in the Holy Ghost does not deliver you to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That faith is based on the grace and truth brought once by Jesus Christ. That truth was appropriated by you the day you were born again. Jesus brought that truth. Praying in the Holy Ghost begins building you up. Now notice, on that foundation. He doesn't deliver you to that foundation. Jesus delivered you to that foundation the day you were born again, if you had preachers that preached the truth, the same truth that Jesus preached, that when you get born again, you are set free from sin. That's the foundation that the Holy Spirit starts building on. Like what? Well, like your call. And there are other strongholds besides sin, you know. Some people have fear. Some people are timid. Some people are insecure. Some people don't, well, none of us know what our calling is in the beginning. He builds you up on that foundation. That's what praying in tongues does. But it had gotten so bad in the early church that Jude says, look, these guys are coming to take that faith away. They are literally coming saying you can continue in sin and God's grace will cover it. And that is not the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You're going to have to contend for that faith again. And one way to do it, it's building yourselves. You don't let go of that faith, but you build yourself up on that faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that process keeps you in the love of God. Isn't that good stuff? Hallelujah. Give me just a couple of minutes here. If you're lucky, there's not a whole lot left. The foundational truth of the Christian being made free from sin has pretty much been lost to the modern generation of Christians. As the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit did have to teach us that truth again, but He didn't establish it. He brought us back to it. You see it? But He did not originate that truth. Grace and truth was brought by Jesus Christ once. And it will never need to be. No one will have to come from heaven and preach that truth again. Okay. The reason Jude was exhorting believers to contend for the faith that had once been delivered to the saints was because there were wolves in sheep's clothing trying to take away that foundational truth. Christians had to contend for it because false teachers were trying to wrestle that truth away from them. It's not that they didn't already have it. They did. See, this is part of the apostles' doctrine. It says they broke bread daily from house to house and they listened to the apostles' doctrine. Well, what do you think they were teaching? They were teaching exactly what Jesus taught. It's not that they didn't already have this truth. They did. But now they had to contend with these false teachers in order to keep it. The false teachers were trying to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which simply means they were saying God's grace covers, allows, and permits sin. Said another way, their doctrine says God's grace allows believers the option of continuing in sin. Paul's response to that false doctrine was, God forbid. Now go to Romans 6. I'm almost done. You can put a finger in Titus chapter 2. See, Paul is also writing against those false teachers in Romans chapter 6. When he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is the same issue that Jude is talking about. That's what they were saying over there. You can continue in sin and God's grace will cover it. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Well, Paul's teaching against that same thing. He says, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. Again, God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves? Boy, if there's revelation knowledge, when you sin, it's your choice now. See, he's writing to Christians. When you sin now, it is your choice. You are yielding yourself. Can you see that? He empowered you not to have to do it anymore once you're born again. Whom you yield yourselves, servants, to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience. Notice, obedience under righteousness. Obedience to what? Obedience to the voice of that new nature on the inside of you. That is the light of life. That is Christ in you. Obedience. That is a renewed mind. That you obey it. But God be thanked that you were, past tense, the servants of sin. But here it is. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. This is what they first heard, being then made free from sin. That was the foundational first truth that they heard. You have been made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness. And then finally, Titus chapter 2, he defines for all time what the grace of God really is. This is the true grace of God. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Let me ask you, who wants any other kind? Anybody want any other grace? I want the grace that brings salvation, don't you? The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. I could put once. It hath appeared to all men, teaching us that this is what the grace of God is. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Jesus, I want to be your disciple. Okay, follow me. And the same life that I have in me that empowers me to walk free from sin, I'm going to put that life in you. And you're going to be able to walk sin free the same way I am. But moment by moment, day by day, you're going to have to crucify your flesh by having a renewed mind that bows the knee every time you hear that voice on the inside. And that is walking in righteousness. That is our most holy faith.